All right, I'm very excited now to be joined by Masconomet boys soccer coach Jared Scarpacci. And coach, welcome to the Northeastern Conference.
Thank you.
Sort of.
Yeah, we're trying.
Man, everything is trying. You know, so let's start with that, coach, then we'll sort of go backwards. You know, I was at that rally a few weeks ago when so many Masco kids showed up in Danvers to say, we want to play, let us play. And great turnout, Masconomet moving into the Northeastern Conference finally. What's your take on that, coach, in terms of, let's say this were a normal start to a fall season, how would you be looking at it?
Well, one, I think it's, you know, after coming out of the Cal, I think we were in the Cal for 40-plus years. You know, anytime you're trying, you know, you go into a new adventure, you're excited. And we're really excited. There's a element of the unknown in there. I think for all the kids, these aren't teams that we've played. None of these teams, at least in my tenure, other than Danvers, we played them in the state tournament a couple times. But we played none of these teams, so that's always fun. I think the kids were excited. They are excited to play these teams. I'm a Danvers High grad, so I know the teams and the schools well, but it was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So class of 92. So we're excited. We're excited, and you know, we're preparing. I would say we prepare the same way as far as preparing, mm-hmm. as far as the soccer is concerned. Is, you know, the ball's still round and the field is still the same. So you know, that doesn't change at all.
How about the travel plans? Does that change going to Northeastern Conference schools? A little bit further ride in some cases.
I think so, and I think we're actually not sure. You know, we talked about that. I feel like it's going to be, for sure, obviously Winthrop, Marblehead and Swampscott, Salem anytime in October. I think as far as mileage, it's probably very equivalent, but as far as time,
mm-hmm.
no. I think the time is going to be a significant change for teams. And I think there's, and some of that is sort of the logistical operational pieces. That's the unknown. Most of the schools in the Cal, the JV team, plays right next to the varsity team at the same time. I don't know if that's the case in, these schools. Like are they playing at the same location?
Mm-hmm.
The bus have to drop one off and then drop the other. And all that sort of goes into planning and preparation. You know, and I don't know that. We're going to kind of live and learn a little bit.
Well, I know that most of the coaches I talk with across the sports in the Northeastern Conference are really happy that Masco is in. And, you know, it's there's been a lot of discussion back and forth with leagues. And the other thing I do want to mention, Jared, and I don't know if you agree with this, many years ago, it seemed there was a perception among the Northeastern Conference that the Keepan League was sort of like the NEC's little brother. And that is not the case anymore. So often, Cal teams knock off NEC teams in the tournament.
Absolutely. I can tell you right now that I can speak, you know, being an AD, former AD at Masco in the Cal, and, you know, I can speak to boys soccer in particular. Boys soccer in the Cal is very good in the Cape Ann League. It is very good. When Masco was in it, we had 12 teams in the league. I think one year, I think 8 qualified.
Well, yeah.
You know, like something like that. It was pretty wild qualified. So that means, you know, 8 of the teams had a record over 500. There are some really good teams in the Cal, and you can see that a lot of them, and yeah, they're Division 3 and Division 4, which, you know, are smaller schools like Manchester Essex or Rockport. But Manchester Essex last year was one of the best teams in the state,
mm-hmm.
period.
Mm-hmm.
Period. I mean, I don't care what division you were talking. So, and they're a Division 3 or 4 team. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, and Dave Curley up in Rockport, man, they challenge every year, no matter who they're playing.
Absolutely. He's done an incredible job up there. So, you know, I think that is a, I think you called it, I'm not sure, a misconception. It is absolutely a misconception that the teams in the Cal are little brothers. You know, and that's the issue with, you know, when you go on school size. I mean, school size is just that, the size of your school. It has nothing to do with your the talent of the kids there, the amount of kids that play, you know, sports. So let's say you have a school of 2,000 kids, and you only have 200 kids who play athletics. all right, well, if you have a school of 400 kids and you have 200 kids to play athletics, that's the same school.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's the same amount of kids playing athletics. So I think that's often a percentage that is not thought about enough, is the percentage of kids who play one season of sport in your school. That percentage isn't used enough when talking about leagues in particular.
Let's focus on your guys now before we talk mm-hmm. about any possible challenges in terms of logistics and so on. Tell me a little bit about who you have coming back and what your projections would be, maybe who your captains are.
Yeah, so my captains are Will Neuenhaus, Spencer Butterworth, and Sam Brockelman. They are, Sam is a junior, Will and Spencer are seniors. They're, you know, seasoned vets on the team, if you will, so I'm expecting a lot out of them. We have Kevin Pelletier, a junior in goal. He didn't get a lot of playing time last year because we had a senior goalie that was a real stud and off to play in college, but he's very, very good. And we also have a junior named Aiden Govain in the middle who we're expecting a lot out of. You know, so I think, you know, we're cautiously optimistic. I think we're going to have a good season, and we also have a kid named Carmine DiPietrantino, who's plays forward for us, who I think, you know, can really do some things for us up top. So I mean, I think we're cautiously optimistic about as we go into every season. You know, I think that's a little bit of that is the coach. You know, I'm always. You know, the right pieces have to fall into the right pieces
mm-hmm.
for it all to happen. So I think we have some good pieces here, and we'll see.
Coach, across the spectrum, we've talked about the challenges in particular of this year, and especially now that fall sports will be getting underway in one fashion or another. But I'm going to ask the opposite of you. What do you expect that's going to be sort of normal with your kids on the field?
I think for us, what we want to do is, and we've talked as coaching staff, is to do as many of the normal things that we do in the day-to-day. You know, we have a couple of traditions at Masco about, you know, we have a little soccer tennis tournament and do a couple of things that you know, it will not be affected by COVID. You know, they're in our control. And we've talked about saying, hey, listen, we're still going to do these things because the kids enjoy them. So we're going to try to continue to run training sessions the same way that we can, because that's the routine that they know, and do some of the other sort of, I guess, non-soccer events that we do every year as part of, whether you call it team bonding or just what we do at Masco as part of our program. So we're going to try to do that as much as possible to bring some normalcy to it. And believe it or not, I think, you know, you can always focus on what's different. You know, they're going to be wearing the same uniform, all right, that they wore last year. You know, there's a lot of things that are going to be much more similar than what people think.
Good.
I think when we go throughout this whole thing, if you focus on that, if you want to focus on that they're all wearing masks, okay, then, yep, that's different.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, and you know, I think that's a great way to look at it. A great thing for the kids to understand. And you sort of look. I mean, even when you go grocery shopping, I mean, everybody's wearing them now. You sort of look past that, and you know, we obviously look forward to the day when this is all in the past. Coach, what is there a schedule being planned at this point?
I believe there is. I don't know. I have my AD's meeting today. I know that the Northeastern Conference, I believe ADs are meeting tomorrow, Friday, to probably put the schedule together. I think there's still school committee meetings tonight for some schools in the Cal. I mean, excuse me, in the NEC. I think everyone is in, other than Winthrop in Classical and English.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I'm pretty sure, yeah, and so it should be a pretty full schedule. I think the last thing I want to mention, Coach, is that I was at Danvers, you know, for that rally, and so many Masco kids showed up, and it seems all the kids I talk with, I tended to try to talk with captains across the various schools rather than the younger kids, but that was impressive that the captains were with the younger kids and the younger kids were with the older kids, and they were very well behaved, they were very well spoken, and it was a positive moment. And I think that reflects well on so many people. It reflects well on the coaches, but also the parents and the staff and the kids themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I was really proud of just the whole event because it was student-driven and student-led, and it was across multiple communities where, like, look, we're going to play, and we're going to play hard against you, and, you know, we're going to hopefully win, and people are going to lose, but right now, that's not it. We are all in this together to try to get us to play. And I thought it was just the teacher, the history teacher in me thought it was a great example of civic duty, civic community coming together. And, yeah, I actually think it did play, in my opinion, some part in having school committees really think about this decision a little bit more.
I agree.
I think it had a massive impact. And even if it didn't have a massive impact, I thought it was a great example of kids, you know, organizing themselves for something that they want, you know, for something that they want.
The other thing, the emphasis was on rally instead of protest. And sometimes linguistics makes all the difference. Hey, does anybody teach civics anymore?
Yeah. They're trying to bring it back in the curriculum. I'm a world history teacher. They're trying to bring it in, but it isn't. Some schools might have civics classes still. We have a government class now. We have an AP government class. You know, we do. But you know, this was a great example of exactly that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I think we need a social media civics class as well.
Yeah, God. We do.
Coach, listen, it's great talking with you. Nice to meet you. I will see you on the field. We're going to be attending games, and we'll try to do some post-game interview with coaches and kids. And obviously, we'll have coverings on, but, you know, looking forward to it. And wish you nothing but good luck.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much for your time.
All right, Coach, we'll talk soon. Thank you.
Okay.
Take care. That is Jared Scarpacci, who is the head coach of Masconomet Boys Soccer with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.